Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Shine Radio's Growing Together is sponsored by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future.
Welcome to Growing Together, the gardening podcast from Petersfield Shine Radio. I'm Steve Amos and I'm down on the Adhurst Estate Allotments, joined by my good friend Coxie. Good morning, Coxie.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
How are you?
I'm well, especially the fact that today, tad warmer than when last
Oh my goodness, isn't it? No hat and gloves today.
No hat and gloves. I don't have to worry about the rain at the moment. Oh, touch wood, sorry.
Don't say that. Touch wood. I think it's going to rain this afternoon, so we need to make hay whilst the sun's shining, as they
exactly.
say, don't we? Yeah. Well, on today's programme, I'm joined by Dylan and Lisa from Built by Artisans, who made the amazing eco shelter down at the community garden. I'm also at the seed swap, talking to Anne Ballard from the Petersfield Beekeepers Association and a couple of punters that attended the seed swap, as well as catching up with Anne Marden on our first visit to her new allotment plot. So, Coxie, what are you up to today?
So today, Steve, what I plan to do is to sow some dwarf dahlia seeds.
Ah.
Yes. I know you're a bit of an expert
well,
as far as dahlias
not really,
are concerned.
Well, go on.
You do reasonably well. I always try to compete every year, but don't quite get to the same standard.
Okay.
Dare I say so?
Let's roll with that.
So I thought, this time, let's be adventurous.
Yeah.
And see what happens when you try to grow these dahlias from seed. What do you think my chances are?
Well, I did it a few years ago. I don't know if you remember. I collected seed from some dahlias I grew about 5 years ago now. Saved the seed, naively, hoping to get a replication of what I'd grown. So the only way of getting a replication is either by dividing the tubers or taking cuttings. So when you sow seeds or get seeds from dahlias, you're always going to get what they call a spore. You're never going to get a true representation of what the mother plant was. There's a famous dahlia called the Bishop of Llandaff, which is a well-used bedding dahlia, and the seeds you can buy are called the Children of Llandaff. You're never going to get the same.
It's just as well you've got a bit of Welsh in you. I think I would massacre that word.
Honestly, bedding dahlias, fantastic way of growing them, and you'll have success. They're bomb-proof. That's my famous last words for you.
Bomb-proof for me, Coxie, the neighbour. Yes, well, we shall see. Do you think I've got every chance of winning some competitions?
Not with bedding dahlias, no mate, sorry.
Oh, that's a bit of a disappointment.
Sorry. I'd rather be a realist. What else are you up to then, apart from bedding dahlias?
In terms of broad beans.
Yes.
I want to get as many broad beans into the pots as I possibly can.
Yeah. You love a broad bean, don't you?
I love a broad bean, and I try to adopt what my mum taught me many, many years ago in terms of you just don't get one pot and put one broad bean in and just hope.
So how many beans do you put per pot then?
So a reasonably sized pot.
Okay.
And I'll try to put four.
What are we talking, like a 6-inch pot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put four in and just keep fingers crossed that maybe 50% of them will come through.
Okay.
If all four come through, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you divide that or do you just plant the whole thing into the ground as is?
So when they get to a certain height, probably about 6 inches, then I will divide them up.
Okay.
Depending on the weather, I might put them straight in the ground
and
try and protect them from any late frost, or I would just simply put them into a bigger pot and hope to flourish them until they're of a reasonable size.
Fantastic. Well, I've been busy dividing dahlia tubers, the ones that have been dug up last autumn, dried nicely. I've been busy dividing them, brutally dividing them with a kitchen knife. So nice big clumps of dahlia tubers. One clump I got, hopefully, 11 viable plants from.
So how many actual dahlias are you looking to grow this year?
Plant-wise, dahlia plants, probably about 150.
150?
Yeah, here. Gosh. And then I've got the other garden over at Steep Marsh, where we're probably going to grow about another 40, maybe 60.
So basically, you're doing all you possibly can to continue your success with dahlias.
Absolutely.
And limiting my chances of taking your mantle.
Exactly. That's the only reason I'm growing so many dahlias, Coxie. Just to get one over on you.
But talking of dahlias, do you remember we went up to that RHS show?
We did, didn't we, at Wisley a few years ago.
And what a wonderful day that was.
It was, wasn't it? And do you remember we met Darren Everest?
We did.
Well, I've kept in touch with Darren, and I met him at the Hampton Court Flower Show last summer. Fantastic guy. Did a really good interview with him, actually. And hopefully going to get some plants from him this year as well.
Well, if you recall, as we travelled up, I think it was in your car, in the back of the car, you said, look, Coxie, I've probably got too many for the show. Why don't you pick a sample?
Oh, that's right. We entered the People's Dahlia competition, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
And there am I, on the way to Wisley, thinking, I've got a chance. Okay, so there might be Steve's dahlias, but who knows? I might have a chance of winning something. Close we got to the marquee to submit our entries, the more I could see there was a bit of from you in terms of maybe I should just enter them all, increase my chances.
I don't remember this story
at
all.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, because I ended up with nothing in the marquee, and you just decided you were going to use
I don't think
all
I won anything
plants.
Anyway there, did I?
No.
At Wisley, it's the national show. It's well worth a visit. Sort of second or third week in September.
Yeah, one wonderful occasion.
No, absolutely. Have you been down to the community garden, Coxie?
Recently I have, because I was told that the fencing was falling to bits, and what was I going to do to repair it?
Yes, we've got a bit of work to do there, but have you seen their amazing eco shelter?
Oh, absolutely wonderful.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I caught up with Dylan and Lisa from Built by Artisans Who Made It. Let's hear from them now. I'm here today at the Petersfield Community Garden with Sue.
It's a very exciting day today.
It is, isn't it? Well, we're actually here at Hedgefest. We're here to talk about your amazing eco shelter.
Yes, we've been so excited about it.
It's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
It has, but then Dylan called us in January and said, right, we can go now.
We're joined here with Sue, with Dylan and Lisa from the organisation that made this amazing shelter, Artisans of Wood. Is this what you guys do?
Yeah, we create buildings, beautiful buildings. But well, he does.
I have to say, it is absolutely beautiful. It's like something out of the Iron Age, isn't it? With a sedum roof. So how do you come up with a design for these shelters?
It's a standard design, a reciprocal roof. It's a mathematical solution. There's no way of breaking out of it to make it work. It's a bit more tricky because it's in round rather than square wood. Most of the timber's here from local. So the roof rafters themselves are coppiced locally in Rogate. A coppice worker that we know.
Yeah.
And I have coppiced in the woodland myself.
Yes.
But generally do more building now than coppicing.
And what is the wood that you've used for the shelter?
So we've used sweet chestnut for the rafters, and then we've got like a boarding underneath that you can see. It's quite nice. That's Western Red Cedar.
Okay.
And there's a bit of that here, below in the weave as well.
Okay.
Posts are actually Robinia. Chosen to use Robinia posts on this project.
Why have you chose to use that?
Because we've earth fastened this building, because we could just walk in and out of this project without a solid floor, we chose to earth fasten, which means we put the posts into the ground charred, and we need to pick a species that is very durable, and it's so because we don't believe in treating timbers apart from burning them.
Right, okay.
So you have to choose the right species, and the best species to stick in the ground is Robinia, basically.
Oh, fantastic.
Last year longer than stone. Allegedly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Where do you source that from then?
Well, we've got a good relation with another company over at Elstead that do play parks up and down the
right,
country.
Okay.
And that's like a standard timber that they use.
Yes. So it's beautifully smooth, isn't it?
It's lovely. Yeah. There's a lot of time being spent on that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Give us a rough estimate, man hours, to create the timbers that you've used and then to erect it.
Well, I suppose our end is probably about almost 4 weeks' work.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's, you know, preparing the materials that we've not got involved in, as in like the Robinia posts and, you know, and obviously the felling and stuff like that.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. The burning of it's fascinating. Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's, you know, dates back to medieval times that they would burn the post just to drive the moisture out. So basically you're just trying to drive out everything that's feed on wood.
Gotcha.
So you've got more chance of it lasting a bit longer.
Yeah, no. No, it's brilliant. And Sue, how did you sort of come about the design? Why have you opted for an eco shelter rather than just a shed?
We did start with a shed. We started with a 8x8 foot shed.
Yep.
And we found that when it rained, everyone charged in. And then in COVID times, only one person could really charge in. And then when we became more people, not everyone was included. So we wanted a shelter that was inclusive.
Yeah.
And so we wanted a shelter with outsides. We went off looking around the area as to what people were doing in the woods, you know, at Butser Ancient Farm and different places. And we just saw really lovely shelter up at Butser Ancient Farm that we liked. They'd put up for COVID time by the same company.
Gotcha.
So we asked Dylan to come see us, and he came down. We were just having our break around our social circle. And he said, oh, wow, this is obviously the shape you like to socialise in.
Yeah, it
is a natural shape to socialise in. And also he said, oh, this is the sort of size you want, isn't it? Because this is what you're doing.
Brilliant.
And so that's how we arrived at the size and the shape. And we are so pleased with it.
Can you have a fire inside it?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, while we were building it, we did have a little small fire bowl going in there too. It was pretty horrid weather.
Yes.
To be honest. But
it has been, hasn't it? Let's be honest. We've not had the best weather, have we?
No. You're going to have like a more permanent fire bowl or something in there. You can leave an opening in the roof because
okay.
of the reciprocal roof, the way it's made, you can leave a hole in the middle.
Okay.
These guys have chose to have it just enclosed.
Yes.
It's quite nice.
Yes.
And as long as you keep a sensible fire in there, it'll be fine. The smoke will find its way out.
Brilliant. It's an absolutely beautiful space. You must be delighted to.
We are really delighted, and we did choose to have it covered because we were trying to get a shelter against rain and for shade.
Yes.
And we also have a lovely social circle with a fire pit in it and
yes.
next door to it. It's now very flexible. And today we've had a wonderful gift of some wooden benches made by Dylan.
They're beautiful. They are beautiful, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking, what are we going to have in there to sit on? And he's just walked in with a solution.
He read your mind and delivered
the... Kind, Sue. Thank you.
Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's a beautiful structure and I can't wait to use it myself.
Yes, we're really waiting for you. And the thing is, we're here on the allotments. People can come and use it. They can run a little session from it. And it's for the community. And we have a lot of community groups coming up. So there's now somewhere for everyone to shelter when it rains.
Well, it's just starting to rain now, so we might go and take shelter in there.
Good idea.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time, Dylan. Really good to speak to you, and what an amazing building. Coxie, so what else is going on?
So I'm back to, unfortunately, having to sow some more sweet peas. Hear that the mice community had a field day last week, literally, and they're all my seeds.
You've been very polite there, Coxie. A few more choice words came out of my mouth yesterday when I went to my greenhouse, and I've planted probably 20 trays of sweet peas for the plant sale on the 4th of May, and Mr. Mouse has had the lot, every single one of them.
It's so frustrating. Yes, we're in amongst nature, and therefore you have to take these hits. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But knowing that with sweet peas, if you give them a longer period in which to take seed and to grow, then the roots, I understand, are much
stronger. You get more vigorous plant, absolutely. Yeah, there's not a lot you can do about it, is there?
No. Nothing you can do. You just have to accept it, move on, start all over again, which I'm going to be doing this morning.
Get some more seeds. Well, talking of seeds, yesterday I was at the seed swap, Petersfield's second seed swap at Winton House. What an amazing event. Probably 150, 200 people come through the door.
I just wish I was there.
Well, you were busy watching your beloved Watford. How did they get on?
I wouldn't quite call them beloved anymore.
Let's get to the seed swap. I met up with Anne Ballard from the Petersfield Beekeepers. So I'm joined by Anne Ballard from the Petersfield Beekeepers Association. Hi there, Anne.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
How is the seed swap going?
It's going really well. It had quite a lot of interest.
That's brilliant.
And we've had a lot of networking, all the other people that are there, so that's been useful for getting contacts.
It's been great, hasn't it? Lots of like-minded people in the same space. Lovely. Doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, it's nice to see that people are really worried about the environment and doing things, and interested as well, not just worry.
So how long have you been a beekeeper?
Since 2009.
Right, okay. And how many hives do you have?
I've got three.
Three?
Yeah.
So we're desperate for people to come and put their hives on our allotments, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which allotment is that?
The Adhurst Estate allotment.
Okay, yeah, right.
So I've been talking to one of your colleagues, actually, and we're going to have a meeting up at the allotment in conjunction with Phil, our environment officer, who's here today as well, about getting some beehives up there, which would be brilliant.
That'd be nice.
Well, there is a tax, though.
I guess it's going to be something to do with honey.
Exactly. Love local honey. It's amazing, isn't it? And so many health benefits with local honey as well, isn't there?
There are, yes, definitely. I mean, obviously, a lot of sugar in there, so you've got to restrain yourself a little bit. But yes.
What are some of the major benefits for eating natural honey? And I say natural, you know, you go to the supermarket and it's from all over the place, isn't it?
Well, it's also got it's quite often adulterated, I have to say that, you know, and they don't, so you've got to be very careful. There's quite often a lot of rice syrup in there.
Oh, really?
Yes, there really is.
Oh, right.
Whereas our honey really is natural. It comes from lots of different floral sources, mm-hmm. and it'll have some pollen in it. And people do say that that helps hay fever. I'm not giving a guarantee on that, but I mean, it probably does help a bit.
Obviously, here at the seed swap today, what sort of stuff have you taken away from the seed swap? I mean, I don't mean physically seeds, but.
I've taken physical seeds.
Have you? Oh, what have you taken?
I've taken some vegetables. Mm-hmm. I've taken cabbages and things like that, because that's very good for you as well.
Yeah.
I've taken some herbs, and of course, bees love flowering herbs of any kind.
Yeah.
But I've also been talking to people and telling them that if they have vegetables, particularly onions and things, leave a few to go to seed.
Mm.
Because the flowers, for example, onion seeds, they're alliums.
Yes.
And all pollinators love them. It's very worthwhile to do that. Same with parsnips. If you've got sweet Sicily or something like that, all these things.
The bees love it.
And put in some things like forget-me-not. Beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Looks so pretty.
Mm.
And bees love that as well.
Oh, brilliant. Any other top tips? You know, obviously we're coming into the season now where people are planting seeds. Apart from the stuff you've said, what would be your go-to for people to plant now to help the bees?
Right. So actually, I think the main thing is that the tip there with the vegetables, let some go to seed and flower. Mm. Don't worry about it. So don't pull it all out.
Yes.
I think leaving things like dandelions and things, if you can get people to leave dandelions, that's a very rich source of nectar for bees.
Clover as well in the lawn.
Clovers. My lawn is a beekeeper lawn, so I have I leave patches of clover, the white clover, when it comes up, and it looks very pretty. And then you cut it down at the end of once it's flowered. And actually, if you cut it quite often, then it'll flower again. You know, but let your lawns grow a little bit longer so that the daisies and things provide some pollen nectar.
Pollen for the bees, absolutely. The Petersfield Beekeepers Association are a very active society.
We are active, and we've got a good course for beginners. So we've got 21 new beginners this year, so that's a very popular course. And we've got an association apiary. Even if you join in the middle of the year, it doesn't cost very much, and you can go down there and learn a lot about bees and how to look after bees.
And if people were interested, how would they get in touch?
They'd go onto our website, petersfieldbees.org.
Look
for beekeepers.
Beekeepers in Petersfield.
And you'll find it. Make contact that way. If you want to become a member, that would be good.
Fantastic.
And if you haven't got bees, that's fine. I think that's only about £8.50 a year to get that, but you'll get information about it and information about what bees like. And if bees like it, other pollinators do.
And
it's important to think of other pollinators as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's getting a bit chilly out here. Should we go back inside? Lovely
thank
to speak to you. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for your time, Anne. Really interesting to talk to you. And we'll make sure we keep some of those onions in the ground to flower for your beloved bees. Talking of onions, I can't see any onions growing, Coxie. What's going on?
There's a few. Just to look over the horizon. Can you see those little green things coming through the ground?
I thought that was left over from last year.
They are my prize Stuttgarts.
Oh, you insist on these Stuttgarter onions, don't you?
I do. Yes.
How much success do you have with them?
Very little.
You know, I think it's about time you change variety.
One ought to persevere, like I do with the football.
Okay, fair enough. My onions are all, well, they're not far off ready to pot on, actually.
What?
Well, I grow them all from seed, don't I?
I start
them from seed back in late December. They've all been pricked out of their cells in 3-inch pots, and they're looking well.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yes. Where's the address I need to go to? Is it?
No. No sabotage, thank you, Coxie. So I've been busy with my plan for next year of redoing my beds, and the digging's still very heavy, isn't it?
It's extremely heavy. And in fact, there's many who would say that we shouldn't be digging at all.
No, I
know.
Because
it's disturbing the ground too much.
There was a definite squelch when you're lifting the clumps with the fork. But, you know, time's running out. I need to get on with it. And I just put a board across and stand on the board, move it backwards, you know, stand off it, roll it back, dig a bit more. It's the only way to do it, I think, Coxie, and we've got to get it done.
We've got to get it done, and we're a couple of weeks away from Easter?
Yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness. Is it only a couple of weeks away?
Only a couple of weeks away, and for me, that is the start of spring.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, I'd plant all my potatoes Easter weekend, but obviously we do them differently. We've spoke about that before. I'm eyeing up your buckets, actually. I need to speak to you about that when we finish this.
They come at a very good cost to you.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I'm going to go back to the seed swap. We met a couple of lovely people. Anne and I both interviewed some people. We'll just hear from them now. So I'm here at the seed swap and talking to Janie.
Hello.
Hi, Janie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Having great fun.
Brilliant. So you've been to both talks?
Yes. Yeah. We've been learning a lot. We've just got a new allotment, so we're eager novices.
Fantastic.
So we want to grow flowers and vegetables, so we've been, we just thought go to both the talks, learn as much as we can.
Brilliant. And have you been chatting to people at the seed swap as well?
Yeah, I've met some people from Pecan, which are really nice, and the Petersfield Physic Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a lovely place to go, so nice to talk to the people behind the plants.
Absolutely. And have you come away with any interesting seeds that you might sow for this year?
Quite a few.
Have you?
Slightly more than I intended. And the worst thing is that I've now got to plant them all.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got loads.
Well, it's been a great event. I think we've probably had at least 100 people through the door, and so many people brought seeds. And of course, we had a big donation from Hillier's Garden Centre as well.
Yeah.
So people have gone away with loads of stuff.
Yeah, we've got a few veggies, but mainly because of the cut flowers, we've got quite a few flower seeds.
Brilliant.
I don't think we're going to fit them all in the allotment. So, yeah.
A nice problem to have.
Yeah, we might have to get rid of some of our wood chip paths.
You need to get your sister on removing the wood chip now, exactly, rather than just delivering it.
No, she's been busy doing it. We're going to have some more space. So,
yeah. Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks so much for your time. Go and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
I'm with Pat and we're at the seed swap and we've just come out of the talks. We've just had one with Steve and one with Helia before.
I enjoyed them both, yes. It was a fantastic opportunity to see Helia, who I know anyway as the gardening goddess, and to see Steve, because I listen to the podcast each week. So it's been great.
And have you swapped any seeds?
I have brought some of my own Lanaria Chetlo, and I have taken away some French beans.
And have you learnt anything today?
Yes, I have. I certainly learnt how not to set my seeds swimming off from Helia. And I have learnt from Steve just to start slowly and not to go mad and add as you go.
Thanks for that interview, Anne. So, Coxie, it's not just you and I doing this podcast. We've roped Anne Marden into it as well, who's one of our new allotmenteers. A couple of weeks ago, I caught up with her on her plot and we had a really lovely chat. I'm down on the Adhurst Estate allotments, joined by my faithful hound Luna and one of our new additions to the allotment, Anne Marden. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very, very good. Very excited because obviously we're in our favourite place.
Exactly. We are in our favourite place. It's nearly lunchtime, middle of the week, and we're skiving off at the allotments. It's great, isn't it?
It's perfect. And it's warm.
I was going to say, you arrived looking like Nanook of the North and you soon took your coat off because it's actually quite warm.
I know. I've still got my long johns on because as a new allotmenter, I've discovered that they're very important.
The actual word is allotmenteer, but we'll let you off with that.
That's because I'm so new.
Exactly. So how long have you been up here, Anne?
Okay, so got the plot in October, which we were very excited about, and I do it with my sister. So we're very newbies. My dad had an allotment when we were really young,
yeah.
But you know, this is all new, very exciting. Haven't really got a clue what I'm doing, but this is a new journey.
You say you've not been here long. You've done an awful lot of work already, and you've got a brand new shiny shed.
Yes, so the shed, which is a little bit orange at the moment, but will go down in colour, was a Christmas present to me and my sister from my dad.
Love it.
And we didn't realise that actually to get a shed up on an allotment, you need to do it in one day because at that point there was gale force winds and frost and I think a bit of snow maybe.
And all the seasons in one day.
All the seasons. But luckily it was the working party and they came and helped us put up the shed, which was fantastic.
Well, it's a bit of a new initiative we're running at the allotment, which I think is brilliant. You know, people, whether they're new or been here a lot longer or are struggling with their plots, put your hand up, ask for some help, and during one of the working parties that we run here, people will come and help, which I think is a brilliant idea.
I think everyone quite enjoyed making it as well, to be honest.
Was it just a whole load of project managers?
Even though they didn't read the manual.
Oh, there's a schoolboy error.
That was, but...
Well, you did say
the
roof's on the wrong way round.
We've got a roof on the wrong way round, but you know what? We really like it like that. And also, we were just so grateful because
there's
no way we would have got it up and done in one day. And we met so many people and they were just all lovely.
And obviously, you've joined the allotments here and I've spoken before about, you know, the community spirit at the allotments. Are you enjoying that side of it?
Oh my goodness, yes. So I've met more people here in a couple of months, bearing in mind the weather's not been great either, than I've probably met in about 5 years in Sheet.
Really?
Or, well, Petersfield, anywhere.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. It's
well, you're in
amazing.
A very central position and you're on a slight slope, which isn't the easiest way to garden, but you've done a fantastic job and you've got lots of raised beds, a bit like, you know, only sort of 8-10 inches high, but it looks like some great compost in there. And as we arrived on the plot, you shrieked with glee as you've got some green shoots popping up. What have you got planted?
Yeah, so that is extremely exciting. So I'm going to have to tell my sister because this is the first time that we've actually seen something green on our allotment. At the moment, it's been mainly mud stroke clay stroke wood chips. So we planted those a couple of weeks ago and they are shallots. Oh, actually, they might
they
be garlic.
They don't look like shallots.
I was going to say, this is how new I am. I think they're actually garlic.
Okay, shoot recognition.
They're garlic.
Yeah, they're garlic.
Yes. Yes.
Brilliant. So I'm going to ask you a really tricky question now. If you thought they were shallots, do you know what variety it is?
Absolutely not.
Fantastic.
I think they were from Tesco and we were giving it a trial run of just literally a garlic bulb.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's not even seed garlic?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay. Interesting. Well,
we're being very brave.
Well, we'll see how it goes, because sometimes seed garlic, because generally the garlic you buy from Tesco's is from Spain or Portugal or something like that, and likes the warmer climates.
Oh.
Whereas stuff from the Isle of Wight or, you know, it's British bred garlic is more for this type of climate and does a lot better. But, hey.
I'm going to be a really good experiment for you, aren't I, on this podcast? Because I'm going to just show everybody what maybe to do or maybe not to do.
I think it'll be a really interesting journey. And obviously, you know, you're saying your sister's a bit more experienced gardener than yourself, but you're both brand new to allotmenting. You know, back as children, you had experience, which is brilliant. And I think it's going to be a great journey. And I think it'll be super for us to follow that journey over the next few months and hopefully years to watch you flourish into expert allotmenteers.
And I think also what we've learnt already, which I really, really like, well, A, it's just lovely being together and chatting. And
is your sister local?
Yes, okay. She's in Petersfield. So that's really lovely. But then also we're already finding our strengths. So I'm already finding that she's very good at some things and I'm not.
Okay.
And there's other things that I just say, hey, I'll do that.
What's your go-to job then when you get to the allotments?
My go-to job, as you can see on our plot, I am the wood chip mover. With the wheelbarrows.
Well, what you need is a good podcast in your ears, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, and my sister's been very good at the building and getting everything the right size and levelling, because we've done a lot of levelling, because as you said, we are on a bit of a hill.
You're on a bit of a slope, but you can sit up here and watch the golfers go by in the summer.
Oh, yes, you can. And you can hear them coming, actually.
You can hear them coming, usually shouting four as they go crashing through the trees. It's a beautiful spot you've got here, and you've done an awful lot of work already, which is brilliant. What are your hopes and dreams for the coming growing season?
Well, as I said, finding our strength. So my sister has actually drawn up our plot and planned it very well. So we've got a variety of things we're going to do. We've decided to go for things that may be a bit more expensive to buy.
Yep.
That we may be able to grow, but we're doing a little bit of a balance. So we're doing some potatoes, some early and late.
Yep.
We're doing spinach, we're doing kale. We're doing some shallots and
some garlic. Yep.
Hopefully. Sweet peas.
Yep.
We're going to have a whole section with some flowers.
Okay.
Because actually I quite like, you know, flowers, and maybe try and do some flower arranging with those.
Cut flower beds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
brilliant. And strawberries. We've got a bit of rhubarb there already.
Are you going to squeeze it all in?
I know. Carrots. Oh, yeah, we're really... when I said we're enthusiastic, Steve, we're really enthusiastic.
Well, do you know what? I think it's a great idea, because when you first start out, you don't know what's going to grow well. So a little bit of a lot goes really well. And then next year you can go, well, that was dreadful.
Yes.
That didn't work. That worked brilliantly. And you can grow more of something and less of another.
And actually, I think I've probably got about another 10 crops I didn't even mention. Sweet corn,
it's a busy time of year.
Courgettes, you know, everything. We're going to squeeze a whole lot in.
I love it. Just remember, some stuff takes up an awful lot of space.
Yeah, my sister keeps telling me that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, brassica plants.
Yes.
They take up a lot of space.
Yes.
But you can...
And I'm a bit worried about... I've seen a deer print here as well.
Yeah, we do have a few deer here. There's not a lot we can do about that, no. I'm afraid, unless, you know, we come into some decent grant money and we redo all the fencing to six-foot-high deer fence.
But what are you going to grow, Steve? Tell me as an experienced person, what should I be doing?
Well, 12 years in, I don't grow brassicas anymore, because they take up a lot of space.
Yes.
The pigeons love them.
Yes.
The butterflies love them.
Ooh.
You have to cover them. And I always find, you know, when you've got stuff covered, it's a bit of a psychological barrier when it comes to weeding. And I hate weeding anyway. So if there's an excuse not to do it, like it's covered, I don't bother.
Actually, you're right, because we actually do have a cage.
You do.
There, and that's the only bit we haven't been into yet.
Well, you could utilise that for some brassicas, as well as some of the fruit that's in there already.
Yes.
I know you've got some seedlings coming up and what have you, but I had a big weekend last weekend. I've got all tomatoes, chilies, peppers, aubergines, all that kind of stuff. The stuff that's long growing, all planted. In fact, it's my second lot of tomatoes. First lot are up already.
Oh, wow. And okay, I've already got ahead.
Well, I'm doing a couple of plant sales this year. My daughter's raising funds to go on a trip to Southern Africa. Not this summer, but next summer. So as part of that fundraising, the royal we are going to do some plant sales.
Oh, and where are you going to do that? Can we buy some?
Absolutely. Great pun. Love it. I've just had agreement, actually, from Ram's Walk. So Saturday, the 4th of May, Star Wars Day.
Yes.
Outside of Waitrose, from about 9 o'clock till about 2:30, 3 o'clock. We're going to be there selling all sorts of homegrown plants.
So what can people buy from you and your daughter?
Oh, there's going to be all sorts. There's everything from tomato plants, cucumbers, peppers, dahlias, some other flowers, hopefully some raspberry canes, all sorts of stuff. Because I grow a lot of stuff for the show bench as well. Some of that stuff is a bit more slow growing, like onions have been in since before Christmas. So I grow everything from seed because you get more variety when you grow from seed rather than onion sets. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with onion sets and they grow brilliantly well. I just get the right variety, which you can't buy as sets for the show bench. So they're all in pots now, growing nicely.
Can I ask you a question,
Steve? Of course
you
can.
What's a show bench?
Well, I grow to show.
Oh, okay.
So I just do the sort of the local shows. We do okay. That's maybe a little
bit. So where do you do this?
Well, I started at Steep. So Steep Flower Show is where it all began for me from an obsessional point of view. But there's a couple of more local shows like Liss and Liphook as well. Up at Hawkley, they have a lovely show up at Hawkley as well. We're very lucky, you know, in Petersfield and the surrounding areas, there's so many horticultural societies, which is a great way to learn more information. They always have guest speakers, probably once every sort of 2 or 3 months. And they're all really interesting. Proper experts, not like you and me.
Yeah, but well, definitely proper, not me.
Proper experts who are specialists in what they do. So it's worth, as a newbie allotmenteer, it's well worth joining one of the local societies.
Oh, that's a good idea. Good tip.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to get lots of tips. I'm really excited about this journey. In fact, I don't know whether you've got yours this week.
What's that?
But we've got our seeds arriving, haven't we?
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I can't believe, actually, how excited I am.
When they're
getting excited about everything, this is ridiculous.
But I still do as well, though, Anne. It's a bit like a kid in a sweet shop. When a bag of seeds arrives, it's like, and you lay them out.
So
right,
excited.
Those are got to be planted now. Those are got to be planted next month. What I do is I do a plan, and they're all then wrapped in elastic bands with a little label on them of when they're going to be planted. Because obviously, you've only got a limited amount of space.
Well, and as we said, I'm trying to be over enthusiastic.
You'll soon learn the gardening okie dokie. All right, which is all about taking seedlings in and out of your shed and your greenhouse and your conservatory, letting them harden off during the day, bringing them back in at night. When you then start growing hundreds of dahlia plants, doing the okie dokie in limited space is tricky, trust me.
So we're not just going to put them in the soil then, Steve?
No.
Oh, no. I've got a lot to learn, haven't I?
Well, look, Anne, I think we've got a fantastic journey ahead of us. What's your plan whilst you're up here today, this afternoon? What are you going to get on with?
This could be a whole topic of conversation.
Oh, right,
we might need to save for another day. But something I've discovered, which never thought was going to be exciting, is compost heaps. Wow.
Well, that is literally a whole new episode.
And I now know this is a whole new episode.
It is.
Because
it really is.
I've been getting, from all the people around me, a lot of advice. There's lots of things. So this could be a whole new topic, is compost.
Well, next time we speak, we'll have a beginner's guide to composting.
Yes.
How does that sound?
Yes. I've learnt that because our ground needs a bit of work on, my sister said it's like liquid gold. So, you know, this is going to be our thing to save us for next year.
Brilliant.
Because, you know, we are having to build from scratch. So, yes, composting.
Super. Brilliant. Well, Anne, listen, thanks so much for your time. I've taken enough of it. Lovely to speak to you. And good luck with the future of the allotments.
We'll catch up very soon.
Thanks for listening, and join us again on Growing Together, the gardening podcast from Petersfield Shine Radio.
Growing Together is new twice a month and supported by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future. Get the latest editions of Growing Together at any time at shineradio.uk. This is Shine Radio. Made in Petersfield by
Andy,
Kirsty,
Amy,
Dougie,
and you.
To join us, email team@shineradio.uk or call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500.
Join our team and make it shine at the radio station made by you.
You make it shine, Shine Radio.